Next is panel talk on U.S. Soybean Sustainability Assurance Protocol, SSAP, now and in the future. The panelists, USEC Deputy Japan Country Director, Ms. Tateishi Masako, President of Marukin Foods, Ms. Kira Fusako, President of Kosugi Foods Corp, Mr. Kosugi Satoru. Miki Corporation General Manager of Product Division, Mr. Nakagawa Masashi. And Saitama Ryokoku Managing Director, Mr. Aihara Koichiro. Moderator is from Nikkei BP Research Institute, Senior Researcher, Mr. Watanabe Kazuhiro. I would like to hand over the MC to Mr. Watanabe, please.
Thank you. We'd like to begin the panel discussion. In this panel discussion, we have those panelists who have first-hand experiences of the food business on the ground and SSAP certificate, how could it benefit their businesses. So these are the topics that we'll be covering. Well, thank you for joining us. First, Ms. Tateishi of USEC is going to give us a presentation on SSAP. Well, thank you very much, everyone. So good afternoon. On behalf of the organizers, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of you who are watching the symposium today and tomorrow, as well as the speakers and the panelists. I am Masako Tateishi from USEC, and I look forward to this panel. Next one, please. So first, before talking about SSAP, since many of you may not be familiar with the USEC and what it does, therefore I will begin with an introduction of the USEC and what it does and American soybeans. And I will then talk about SSAP certification in more details. USEC is a non-profit organization that operates in 90 countries around the world and is funded by American soybean farmers and the United States Department of Agriculture, which is sponsoring this symposium. We have about 125 employees and about 100 corporate members. The Japan office is the first overseas office and was established in 1956, and this year marks the 65th year in Japan. USEC has three areas of use for soybeans: soybean oil or soy oil, and today's topic, food, soy, and protein, and soybean meal that is obtained after crushing soybeans. Our goal is to maximize the use of U.S. soybeans for all three use cases. We provide information through industry conferences and overseas visits, and in recent years, we have been able to assist with marketing support based on requests from each segment. Next. Now I'd like to talk about the relationship between Japan and American soybeans. Japan's annual demand for soybeans is about 3.5 million tons. 7% are domestically produced and over 90% are imported. And of those, the United States supplies 70%. And this share has remained stable for more than 10 years. In fact, the U.S. is the world's largest supplier of non-genetically modified IP soybeans, while Japan is their largest importer. The annual production of IP soybeans is just under 7 million tons annually, of which Japan imports 7% and uses them to make soybean products such as tofu, natto, soy milk, and soy meat. As Dan from SF mentioned earlier, all soybeans destined for the Japanese market are imported through IP handling. So what is this IP? This means that the origin of the product is checked at each stage of production, sorting, storage, shipping, and processing to ensure that it is not mixed with other varieties or products, and the product origin is being checked and a certification is issued. In response to the need for greater traceability, American farmers have implemented strict quality control measures to ensure that their soybeans are safe and secure for shipment to Japan. I will now talk about SSAP certification. This has been covered already by Fuma-san from Nura, Fujita-san from Nikkei ESG, so please forgive me for some overlaps and just take it as something to refresh your understanding. This slide shows the background to why soy and sustainability are so important today. As the world's population continues to grow, so too does the production of soybeans, which are healthy and have a wide variety of uses. However, the destruction of forests and ecosystems caused by the cultivation of agricultural land has resulted in a decline in the absorption of CO2, which in turn has caused climate change due to rising temperatures and extreme weather conditions. It is now known that this is having a significant impact on the global environment and soybean production. This has led to a growing awareness of the importance of sustainability, particularly in the agricultural and food industries, which rely upon natural and human resources. And the need for a shift to more efficient and sustainable production while respecting the environment, and the need for all businesses to be aware of the importance of such a shift are rising. All businesses need to be able to visualize and disclose their efforts. The USEC has been influenced by these global trends and has been working with various players in the supply chain in Europe and elsewhere to answer their questions. And the USEC has formally documented its answers in the form of a kind of guarantee for customers purchasing U.S. soybeans. This has led to the development of SSAP back in 2013. SSAP is a system for certifying that U.S. soybeans have been produced and managed in a sustainable manner. SSAP is based on U.S. federal regulations. Most U.S. soybean producers participate in sustainability and conservation programs and are subject to audits. Certification can be requested to a supplier and is issued at the time of export. Later, the panelists will share examples of SSAP-certified products. The SSAP mark can be printed if the conditions are met. SSAP certification is based on the following four criteria and regulations. First, restrictions on the production of soybeans. These restrictions are on the conservation of biodiversity and ecosystems, such as wetlands, peatlands, and grasslands, and not destroying forests and ecosystems. Second is regulations on production activities. The next slide will give you some examples of regulations that not only improve the environment, but also increase production efficiency and conserve resources. The third is there are many regulations and laws related to workers' health, welfare, and human rights. These include the Equal Employment Opportunity Act, the Occupational Health and Safety Act, the Abolition of Forced Labor Act, and the Clean Water Act. There is also a law on water purification. And the fourth is, in relation to production activities and environmental protection, it includes various programs and training for continuous improvement. For instance, as you can see from here, CRPs, conservation and retention programs to ensure the long-term conservation of areas important for wildlife habitat are just one such example. The United States experienced a major dust storm known as the Dust Bowl about 80 years ago for agricultural reasons. This led to the implementation of a variety of sustainable science-based agricultural practices. This slide illustrates some of the main ones. As Megan and Dan mentioned earlier, no-till farming not only makes the soil healthier, it also reduces CO2 emissions quite significantly. Cover crops, this is also a practice that many producers, and Dan and Megan mentioned. This has many benefits, including maintaining soil health and controlling weeds and pests. Grassed waterways prevent soil runoff and pollution of water bodies. Precision farming is a method of optimizing farm management using the latest technologies such as GPS and drone technology to minimize inputs such as pesticides and energy use while maximizing outputs such as soya yields. This is the sustainable improvement goals that U.S. soybean farmers have set for themselves by 2025. 98% of American farmers are family-owned. The land, which has been passed on for many generations, they need to preserve the land in even a better condition for future generations. For that, they are making efforts to protect limited resources and improve production efficiency. This is why they have set themselves these numerical targets to work towards every day. The SSAP certification sets and publishes these targets for continuous improvement every 5 years. This is the result of SSAP certification being benchmarked by other certification bodies. In particular, the adoption of SSAP certification as a sustainable procurement standard for the Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic Games in 2018 was a great opportunity for SSAP certification to gain wider recognition within the industry. Later today, we will hear from the panelists about soybean products that were actually supplied to the Tokyo Games. This is the total volume of SSAP certified soybeans shipped to Japan from 2015 to present. Thanks to your support, more than 90% of the U.S. soybeans shipped to Japan by July 1st of this year were SSAP certified. USEC has introduced the SSAP certification mark as a tool for its U.S. soybean customers. This mark confirms to consumers and businesses that the raw materials have been produced using safe, secure, and sustainable farming methods. The SSAP mark can be used if at least 60% of the soybeans used annually are U.S. soybeans, and if at least 60% of the ingredients in a particular product are U.S. soybeans, and if you request your supplier to obtain the certification, you can use the SSAP mark. And we believe that the mark offers you these 10 benefits. In particular, I would like to emphasize the following 2 points, which were mentioned by other speakers today. It is complicated and difficult for companies to develop their own sustainable procurement policies and auditing standards in the face of increasing pressure from investors to manage business risks and disclose information. But you just need to disclose SSAP certificate as a convenient tool to ensure sustainability initiatives in the production site without taking on any such burden. Secondly, just by releasing the SSAP certification, it is possible to improve traceability and ensure the indication of origin. This is a kind of benefit you will be able to feel in the future going forward. The 4 participants in this panel session today have been actively using the SSAP certification mark since early on, so we'd like to hear from them. So without further ado, let's listen to their examples. This concludes my presentation on SSAP certification. If you have any questions or if you are interested in SSAP, please do not hesitate to contact us by email. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tateishi. Soybeans produced far away from home in the United States are now being used for our very familiar foods such as fried tofu and natto. In between are a number of steps, including processors, farmers, processors, and shippers. Those of you who are tuning in today may be listening to the presentation from different viewpoints, which I believe is an interesting component of this event as well. I'd first like to by way of self-introduction, given an opportunity to the discussants to introduce their own companies. Starting off from Marukin Foods, Ms. Kira, will you share her presentation? Thank you very much for this opportunity. Hello, everyone. In Kyushu, Kumamoto, we are producing natto, tofu, and konnyaku. And I'm the president and CEO of Marukin. Our company has celebrated 106th year this year, and I am the fourth generation president of this company. In 2012, having lived in the United States for 23 years, I came back to join the company, and 5 years ago, I became the president of this company. Going forward, the traditional Japanese food that I have just mentioned will be augmented with different types of food as well, thereby delivering health and wellness to people around the world. With this, I would like to give my microphone to the next person. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Kira, you...
So, I believe that you graduated from a school in the United States, getting a job in the United States as well. And you came back to Japan, and your maiden home was a natto manufacturer. And can you tell me a bit more about your background? I really didn't have a plan to succeed the company, but I have lived in the United States for a long time, and I thought that I just wanted to deliver healthy food to the U.S. And I learned some back home, and then I was hoping to establish a company in the United States. However, it took me a while to learn about the business, and it wasn't easy to establish a company in the United States, so I decided to go to inherit the company, and we are now hoping to expand the global network of our sales from Kumamoto, Japan, delivering healthy food to around the world. And that is my current plan. The reason I became the president of this company was the major earthquake that hit Kumamoto back in 2016. Our factory had been severely damaged physically, and for the first 2 months after the earthquake, we could not operate our business at all. And back then, I thought that we should be uniting our energy, rebuilding the company. And that was why I decided to become the president. And that was some 5 years ago. Thank you very much. You introduced some of your products in your slides. I think it is very interesting. You have a very interesting range of products. I also hear that Kyushu people tend to love sweeter soy sauce. Can you tell me more about your products? Yes. Shoyu or soy sauce in Kyushu is sweeter. And to us in Kyushu, soy sauce in Kanto or eastern part of Japan is saltier. And people from eastern part of Japan visiting Kyushu and trying its local shoyu, they often find it too sweet for them. However, that can also be a unique strength of our products. And leftmost product is our biggest hit product of our company, which is called amakatare, or sweet sauce, using Kumamoto soy sauce. And our customers from non-Kyushu areas have come to overcome their resistance or hesitancy against natto. But this sweet sauce can be a secret sauce of our products as well. Thank you very much. So it must be very sweet. Yes. The Kyushu accent. Thank you very much. Next person.
Next is Mr. Kosugi from Kosugi. Mr. Kosugi from Kosugi. So this is by way of self-introduction. So I am from Kuwa city of Mie prefecture producing natto.
Mie prefecture, Kuwa city, it's not a region that traditionally eats lots of natto. My grandfather, grandmother, they're from Niigata Prefecture. And in Niigata Prefecture, it's quite common to eat natto, but the people in Mie Prefecture, Kuwana, they didn't see natto on their table every day. So they wanted to eat natto for themselves. That's why they started their company around Showa era, 8 years after Showa era. And then in Mie Prefecture, Kuwana city, we've been continuously making natto, not throughout the country, but mainly in Mie and surrounding prefecture, Aichi and Chubu region. That's where we are selling our natto. Quite a local business that we have. And we are using a lot of soybean in Mie and also Hokkaido. So we have a relationship with the farmers that we get to know each and every farmer that supply to us, but not just Japanese soybeans, we are able to use US soybeans for our products too. Thank you. Ms. President Kosugi, your company is unique because in Kuwana City, Mie, there wasn't a culture to eat natto before. However, your grandfather and grandmother created that type of culture in Mie since 1933. And then you are making unique products so that the consumers who might be new to natto, they can enjoy it too. For example, you have a product with more sauce than usual, and also you have like shredded kombu seaweed inside the natto. So for people new to natto too, maybe they might be interested. So what's behind your product development? Our regulars, of course, we have our ordinary natto too, but that tends to become a competition of price because many companies have similar products. But as you mentioned, yes, there are many consumers who are new to natto in our area. So when it is properly fermented, and we see the string that will be tasty. There's umami from the fermentation. However, new consumers feel that the stickiness, they don't like it that much. That is why we decide to have a triple time sauce in the natto. So with that amount of sauce, then it becomes less sticky. And also, it will have a stronger flavor when you want to eat it together with rice. I think that is why it's popular among consumers, the triple sauce natto. Yeah, I think that's a kind of a natto, very unique, even well accepted by people who don't really like natto. A very interesting product. Thank you.
Next is Mr. Nakagawa from Miki Corporation. I'm Nakagawa. Very nice to meet you. I'm from Miki Corporation. Miki Corporation is known for Miki prune Probably you are more familiar with Mickey Plume than Mickey Corporation. So we produce health assisting supplements for customers across Japan for a long time. Improving eating habit is something that can benefit the improvement of your own health. Upon the basis of this philosophy, we've been developing our products. For over 18 years, I am in charge of product development in my corporation. So going to the next slide, I'd like to explain to you what our products are. So this is Mickey, apart from Mickey Plume, we have Mickey Protein that is based on soybean protein, and this is to deliver health effect of soybean protein. This is called Mickey Protein 95. And this is a health supplement based on soybean protein. Health effect of soybeans is something that we would like to deliver to customers. We have gone through many experiments, and this was first launched in 1979, so it is a long-selling product. And this is a quite characteristic product, and it's in a powder format, so it can be mixed with water or with other things. It can be used for cooking as well as part of the food ingredient. That is all from me. Thank you. Mickey Corporation is well known with Keiichi Nakai's TV commercials. That's kind of a comical. And you are very well known for Mickey Plume. But you also have this protein product for a long time. I didn't know. I wasn't aware of it. I'm sorry about that. So you are doing this as well. Well, this is learning for me. But the way you sell these products, you are quite unique. It's not a usual distribution channel you go through to reach the customers. You have a different way of distribution of your products. Is that right? Yes, our products are there to deliver health to people. So we are not selling our product to those people who are just our first comers. We only sell our product based on human relationships. So it has to be through referrals of the people who are already buying our product. Mickey Protein 95, we do not have a TV commercial for this product. So it's not displayed on the shelves of stores. But a lot of people nationwide are already using this product. Thank you very much for your explanation. Because this is directly to do with people's health, and also a lot of customers are repeaters of this product. So Mickey Corporation's sales persons, they directly visit their customers and sell the products, right? It's kind of like a Yakult business model through Yakult ladies. Yes, actually, Yakult has some stores, but we only sell our product based on referrals. So we develop people and we develop people's health at the same time. Thank you for that. So you have a very unique business model, I guess. But that is why you can add value, and people purchase your product upon the basis of their trust. Is that right? Yes. Yes, we only sell our products whereby our stories can also be told.
Next, Mr. Aihara of Kawagoe, Saitama, Ryokoku, from Kawagoe, Saitama Prefecture. Hello, everyone. I am Koichiro Aihara of Saitama Ryokoku. Our company was established back in 1897 by my great-grandfather. Miscellaneous grain has been the area of his business And over the period of more than 100 years, our business have changed to include not only the soybean product, but also removal agent of concrete frames and feed-related businesses. SSAP certificate has been adopted back in 2015. When we learned about that certificate from an event in the United States, and we thought that SSAP is quite suitable for our business, so we have acquired the certificate as the first holder of that certificate back in 2015. And we also, one of our strong business area is the soybean-derived removal agents, which was used for the new national stadiums, Tokyo Games Olympic Village, and many other public facilities. Next slide, please. Talking of the removal agents, it is used not only for the public project, but also for dam construction and other civil engineering projects as well. Government and other public projects have been supported by our products as well. As for imported soybeans, as was the case with the Schwalz Farm business, we believe it is imperative to deliver their commitment to sustainability to our customers as well. We also try to respond to the needs of our customers, and we relay that information to the growing farmers. And we also are communicating the importance of SSAP certificate to our clients as well. Thank you. So, Mr. Aihara, your company imports soybeans from the U.S., including for the removal agents as well. And you then sell the soybeans to tofu manufacturers and other manufacturers? Yes. We import soybeans from certain farmers with SSAP certificate, and I personally visit those farms and then deliver that information to our customers as well. I think it is a very important step. As Fujita-san mentioned, traceability of a food you put your mouth in is very important, tracing back to the roots of the food, and that is one of the point of interest, and you are serving as the bridge between the producer and the consumers. Yes, exactly. Mr. Aihara, having visited soybean farms, so I also heard a rumor that you worked on one of those soybean farms. Can you tell me about your experience? How was it like working on a farm? One of the things that I found very interesting and different from the Japanese situation is that the level to which the demand of Japanese users have been well understood by the farmers. Soybeans are the ones that you would typically see as ingredients, but in Japan, but non-GMO soybean production process was something that I was not personally knowledgeable about, like soil conditioning or installation of the drainage or GPS-enabled initiatives. All these have been quite new to me. And having worked on the farm, I have become able to explain all these factors to our customers in a very simple manner. How is it different? You know, in such a vast expanse of land, soybeans are being raised in the U.S. I have a very rough image of how these beans have been grown. How is it different, especially in terms of the technology usage? And also, Japanese use of soybeans may be very unique, with unique requirements as well. Now, how did you respond to these needs on the farm? Those beans for bean paste or fried tofu or natto, different types of soybean products have different requirements, and we had to meet these requirements. American farmers have large plots of land. But it's not the case that they are just raising soybeans carefree. Rather, they are taking steps to better meet the needs of their customers. Talking like drainage, or is they're not really solely focusing on the yields. Rather, they are strongly committed to meeting the requirements of their clients. And that is something that I personally witnessed. Thank you very much. I believe that you have had a very interesting day there, which we'll be coming back later when we have more time.
I'd like to move on to the next topic. The members of the business participating, they are selling products with SSAP, sustainable products, but why they decided to receive SSAP and what's their idea behind it, and also how you are leveraging SSAP in order to heighten the value of your products, I would like to learn from you. President Kira, would you please start? Yes. Why it started was 2020. Every year there's the NATO quality competition, but last year we were able to be awarded a double award, American Soybean Sustainability Ambassador Award. And USEC sustainable activities. So that's important, not just for the cultivation environment, but also the labor environment is seen for the sustainability. I emphasize with that. And to the consumers, I felt that it's very important that we communicate about sustainability. That is why we are now proactive in using SSAP. Yes, in order to communicate to the consumers, and also it is a value for the consumers. That's what you think, right? Yes, that is right. President Kira, I heard that you are really interested in health. You have lots of knowledge about health, but your consciousness, that is why you decided to use SSAP. Yeah, I individually, personally, am interested in SDGs and environmental preservation. I have been working on it, and I think it really aligns with my mindset. And I want consumers to understand that too. So future sustainable society, I think we want to be even more proactive towards that. From that point of view, this SSIP mark will be a very important PR point appeal to our consumers. Thank you. President Kosugi, why you decided to receive SSIP and how you relate that to the value of your product? Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, we originally started off mainly using domestic soybeans. And when we make natto out of Japanese soybean, the importance is water, soybean, natto bacteria, fermentation technology. So one element of it is soybean. So that's why I wanted to have a face-to-face relationship with soybean farmers for safety and sense of security. And out of that, a special contract soybean and organic soybean, we were very proactive in using those ingredients. And in that type of history, there was the opportunity we have in our industry, the quality competition of deciding number one natto. And when it was held in Hokkaido, our Tsuyudaku Natto, Extra Sauce Natto, received the Sustainability Ambassador Award. And since then, I decided to study about sustainability. So soybean, I understood that it really matches the trend and the current situation. So I think it's, I thought that we really want to promote this to our consumers. So for our products, we decided to put the sustainability mark so we can further promote to our customers. So not only tsuyudaku natto, I mentioned, but the kombu, shredded kombu sauce natto, and BC15 bacteria natto, that too, it has a mark. And with these, I think that we want to further promote SSAP going forward. Thank you. So, President, as your ingredient, you are using U.S. soy, but not only that, soy produced in other regions too, right? I think you have a lot of experience, but U.S. soy, when you use it for your ingredient, what do you feel? Is it easy to use? Well, of course, there's the supply volume and also quality, many aspects to it. But what do you think about U.S. soy? Yes, before using U.S. soybean, we were using Chinese soybeans too, a lot of them. However, how much our customers will feel a sense of security and safety when they eat our natto. U.S. soybean, it is under strict control and contract. That is a point we thought was very important. And not only that, it's a sustainable soybean. So then people will be even more, they would feel even more sense of security, and it matches the direction of the world going towards SDGs and sustainable society. However, recently, I think that the price is starting to heighten, and also the logistics freight is going up too. Not enough containers in this type of environment because we have a long distance between our nations. However, there is a bit of uncertainty, but still, I feel that U.S. soy really matches the direction of our company, and I think it's a really good kind of soybean. I want to continue this relationship.
Thank you very much. Nakagawa-san from Mickey Corporation. Since from a long time ago, you've been selling your protein products, and you got the certificate for that. What is the background of that, and what kind of values are being generated out of this certification? So yes, we very much focus on quality of our products. We have a long history, and we have purchased soybeans from around the world. They have been candidates. And with our own standards, so finally we selected U.S. soybeans. In terms of the high quality of soybean protein, soybean protein quality is very high in American soybeans. And the USEC has been focusing very much on sustainability. This is something that we have been watching very closely, and we feel very closely with that concept. And as for high-quality products, the quality of not just final products, but the process leading up to that product is very important. And that is something that we have learned in a long history of developing the products. So the process, not just the final products, and the high-quality process is something that is not clearly visible to our consumers. That is rather frustrating. And then we have this SSAP mark, and we can use that to make the high-quality process also visible. Right, so the process can be now very clear and visualized in front of the customers. That is very important. And I think that is something that other businesses can learn from you. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Aihara, what about you? What is the background of obtaining that certificate? and what is the additional value you are gaining. SSAP certificate, we got to know this through USEC seminar, actually. Tateishi-san sitting next to me introduced SSAP in that seminar. We've been talking about SDGs and sustainability, and these are buzzwords that everyone knows right now. But back then, when we obtained this certificate, SSAP, that was not well known yet. But then we worked tenaciously to pursue sustainability. We tenaciously explained that to our customers. And soybean-based material that was oil-based in the past, but that can harm the health of the people working on the ground. And we knew that. That's why we wanted to have sustainably produced soybeans, because that would be friendly both for the environment as well as for the human health. So back in 2015, we obtained SSAP certificate. And as for imported soybeans, sustainable production was something that we have been focusing on. Paint remover, removal agent, and I think it's around 3 years ago. Together with the consideration of removal agent, we decided to have this. Thank you very much. So we are running out of time. So I'd like to begin to wrap up by talking about what's next. In each of your business, you have concept of sustainability. Upon the basis of that, what kind of products you would like to develop, what kind of business model you would like to have, and for that, how would you like to utilize this SSAP? So please talk about the future. First, begin with Ms. Kira. Thank you very much. So we have 6 products with SSAP mark. But not only that, on our website, we introduce our products and we explain what this SSAP mark means. And then we have some promotional signages in stores, which also makes an appeal of SSAP so that consumers will become more aware of the mark. And sustainability can provide security of mind to customers. And the USEC and the usage of SSAP certificate or mark, right now there is a very simple process for making applications. So it's very, very useful and easy to access to such certificate and mark. What about you, Mr. Kosugi?
Not only the ingredient soybeans, but also SDG-related use of soybeans are the areas of my interest. Last year, solar panel generation has been started at my company. This year, printing film also started using biomass ink. So within the package of SDGs, we consider that sustainability of soybeans is very important and a source of added value. We currently have 3 different types of products bearing this SSAP seal, and we are hopefully expanding the scope of the use, and I hope that the US SSAP seal will be more widely known among the consumers, and that should be the direction we should be heading into. So sustainability is a key concept for your entire business domain, and you are seeking to take leverage on this certificate system as well. What about you, Nakagawa-san? Our product handles health products, so we belong to the health food industry. And SDGs and sustainability are the areas that are flourishing in general food industry. But health supplement area is still not yet fully ripened in terms of its awareness to these certificate systems as well. Sustainability seal on our product can help facilitate the understanding among our business partners and help them deepen their understanding. And this possibly gives us a stepping stone seeking further synergies with our business partners. Thank you. So you may also be talking about this certificate seal with unconventional areas of business partners, and that can possibly be another direction that we could possibly head into. So for industries and businesses new to this certificate mark, how can we, do you have any clues for those newcomers who are not familiar with this seal? Having put this seal on our products, we have been able to encounter businesses we wouldn't have met otherwise. And that has led to a start of new initiatives with different business partners. So this, I think, is a strong benefit of this certificate mark as well, because that gives us an expanded opportunity for innovations and other new initiatives. So your commitment to sustainability can be more visualized to your potential business partners, and that then will allow you to seek wider areas of B2B business relationship, and that is probably another benefit of this significant mark. Aihara-san, any comment? At Saitama Ryokoku, we put the certificate seal on the imported soy as well as the removal agent for concrete frames, and we disclose that information on our fame page as well. And we hopefully would like to communicate that importance to our clients and clients' clients. And food manufacturers and processors wearing this certificate seal is not quite a challenge, and I am very happy to help them if they want to put this seal on their products. So not only on food, but also construction materials, can this certificate seal be worn? And that, I think, can help expand the scope of this initiatives as well. As far as the removal agent is concerned, as what is the case with the food soybeans, they both are derived from soybeans, and we will be able to include new areas of business thanks to this certificate as well. I believe that I have been able to cover most of the topics that I wanted to, and I would now like to give the microphone back to Tateishi-san of USEC. As mentioned already, the mission of USEC is to maximize the market of maximize the international markets of U.S. raised soybeans. Stable and safe delivery of the product is the core of our mission, and with this intact, we would like to expand the scope of communication going forward. Safety and security of soybeans from the U.S. has been supported by all stakeholders in the areas of production, processing, and sales promotion. And along with the on-the-field sustainable initiatives being driven by local farmers, this structure is still complicated, and it is not easy for us to fully explain the system, but we will do our best so that the system can be more easily and better understood going forward. Can you put up the slide? I'm sure that I'm running out of time. Next slide, please. We are currently in the process of the renewal of SSAP renewal, and we are hoping to deliver the renewed version within this accounting year. And in order to expand the certificate system, we'll be reaching out to different industries and domains of economy, thereby widening the benchmark domains. And we currently put the name of suppliers on our SSAP certificate, but we are hoping to expand the information upon request by processors and manufacturers to make the SSAP certificate something that can be traded, which will be discussed more in detail on our homepage. As has been touched upon by the discussants today, best practices needs to be shared and communicated. We at USEC is an expert in marketing, which means that SSAP can succeed only with the support of the users. So it is imperative that users communicate the importance of this certificate system, and industry as a whole, we should push this certificate system as well. In this regard, we also have to ask the support and cooperation from the media as well, so that we can continue help maximizing the international market of the U.S. soybeans, thereby creating a win-win situation with USEC, U.S. soybean farmers, and the users of such soybeans, thereby contributing to the maintenance and achievement of sustainability. I would like to take this opportunity to reiterate our heartfelt appreciation for four discussants on the panel today. I would also like to ask all the audience. We'll be having a day two of this event tomorrow, starting from the same time as it was today. Please come back again tomorrow morning.